Amen. What a joy to be here. So appreciated our sessions so far. What a blessing. Thank you, Brother Rick. It's a real pertinent subject of obedience that we just heard. And I trust that now we can tune our hearts a bit to shift a little here as we think about the subject that I've been asked to share on honor and respect. I thought of the title for this sessions here, Prepare Ye the Way of the Lord. And certainly that as we demonstrate to our children the Christ life and we teach them in these things that we've been looking into and are going to further look in here today, we are at a place of the greatest influence upon our children for righteousness and for good. I believe that very much. We are a product very much out of the homes that we come out, that we were raised in. Isn't that true? And so we have a wonderful opportunity, and we also have a holy mandate from God that we be shepherding and modeling and showing forth the Christ life to our children. Maybe we could again stand together for prayer. If you can conveniently do that, stand with me. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, we come today as fathers and mothers, and we look unto our Heavenly Father today. Again, Lord, we come looking unto our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, looking unto You, Father, for Your blessing, Your anointing, Your guidance into our hearts and lives. Father, that You would minister Your grace to us as we're together here today. Father, that we can receive from You, Lord, those things that You want to impress upon our hearts, where You want to instruct us, Lord, where You want to teach us, Father, and to encourage us and to give us Your heart, Lord, and Your wisdom. Father, thank You that we have Your Word. Thank You, Father, that You've given us Your Holy Spirit. And Father, now we ask in the name of Jesus for Your anointing. Father, the anointing of the Spirit of God upon our hearts as we receive Your Word and look into Your Word. And Father, as we receive from Your heart for us and for our precious children. We bless You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. When we think of the subject of honor and of respect, probably all of our minds pretty readily go to the Scripture where God has spoken concerning for children to honor their parents, to honor their father and their mother. I thought of the words of Jesus where in John 5 He says, "The Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent Him." As we are teaching our children to honor their parents and to honor others, we are preparing the way for the day that they will come to that place where their hearts have already been tuned and instructed and they've already embraced this matter of honoring other people. And then when the Lord comes knocking on their door, as Brother Paul shared last night, that they then are in a place where it will be easier for them. They'll already have those principles in their heart that all men should honor the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they have been honoring other people, it is easier for them then to also give that honor that is due unto His name. Today we're here because we have a love for our children. We desire that it may be well with them, don't we? We desire that they would be walking in the goodness and the blessing of the Lord. And this is the first commandment with promise, that children should honor their father and their mother. And not only children, but we ourselves here today too. There's a blessing that comes down upon our lives as we, as parents and adults, as we honor our father and mother even here today. But this is a commandment with promise. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So what does it mean to honor? The word honor is to revere and to respect. It's to esteem. It's to give high estimation and to treat with deference and submission. Who best can teach our children to honor others? How is that taught? I asked my children that last evening as we were sitting there together. I said, you know, how do parents teach and train their children to honor others? You know what their words were? They said, you demonstrate it to us. You model it to us. And yes, the Bible speaks about teaching and training to honor and gives us a commandment to honor. But I want to say here today that you husbands and wives, us fathers and mothers, if we're not honoring those around us, and if we're not honoring our parents, are our children going to honor us? It's going to make it very difficult for them. We put before them a great stumbling block if we are not treating others with honor and respect that is due to them. So honor is taught, it's commanded, but I'd like to say here today that in teaching our children to honor others, the greatest blessing that we can give them is that we are showing that honor to others, to those that are in authority over us, and to our parents. Do our children see me honoring my father? My mother's gone on to be with the Lord 15 years ago, but my dad, he's still with us, and we have him every Monday evening for supper, and we sit together and we share together. And again, I'm not saying I do it all perfectly, but it's that heart of honor toward your parents and toward your authorities. Now, I know this can sometimes maybe get a little difficult if you have parents that are unbelievers and who do oppose your walk with the Lord. And but still, I believe even in that situation, there are ways in which we can honor our parents. And our children know that we love our parents. And we want to see our parents saved and come to know the Lord if they're not born again. To respect is very simply, also very similarly to honor. The respect is the estimation of honor in which men hold the distinguished worth of the respect. Now, that may also be on an equal plane, you might say. The Bible speaks a lot about honoring, as far as children, honoring the elderly and older ones. But as far as respect, that can be shown on every level. Also, same way with honor, but especially respect. An older one can respect a younger one and can show that I value this person and I value their convictions or their desires or who they are, their person. The Bible says concerning respect, and again, looking at this, prepare ye the way of the Lord. In Isaiah 17:7, it says, at that day shall a man look to his maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. I thought that was a very interesting verse in this matter of respect to the Holy One of Israel. And again, as we prepare the way of the Lord, when our children, if they see us honoring and respecting others, it prepares the way of the Lord that at that day they look to their Maker and have respect unto the Holy One of Israel. There's many different verses we could go to, and I think it would be good for us to just look at a few. If you will turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, he says, Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Here we have very clear the Scripture speaking that the younger submit themselves unto the elder, and that there be this clothing in humility and being in subjection one to another. And here again, this speaks very clearly of giving due respect and honor unto the elder. And this may be in the context of an elder in a church, but I like to think of this as far as our children, teaching them to respect and to honor the older people in their lives and in their circle of acquaintance and so forth. Because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I found a verse in Isaiah that was quite interesting, and we won't read it all, but it was God bringing his judgment upon Israel for their disobedience and their departing from God. And in Isaiah 3 and verse 4 and 5, it says, "And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them, and the people shall be oppressed, everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable." And I'd like to say that we live in a day when that is the spirit of this age, where the children are behaving themselves proudly against the older established society and what's to be as godliness and good, clear principles and obedience and all of those things we heard. But we must recognize that we live in a time and in an age when there is a tremendous rebellion in the hearts of our society, and children behave themselves proudly against the ancient. And I can think back of some examples from my life and give some illustration or some testimony. It tells us in Exodus 21 that he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And speaking of consequences, and speaking of a consequence to a dishonor or to a rebellious spirit, it also says there that in verse 17 that he that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And that word curse has the meaning of to speak a wish of evil against one, or to even just have it in the heart, a heart of dishonor, of disrespect, a heart of wishing evil. And I can remember when I was with the youth as a young man, of a young man who so dishonored and so disrespected his father that he physically beat his father. He struck his father. And the Bible says under the Old Covenant law that such a man shall surely be put to death. But I can say today that man, his life has been a life of death. He has been put to death spiritually, and he has suffered much. Later in life, he said, "Why didn't someone just take me by force, you know, and get a hold of me to stop me from my path that I was on of destruction?" But many people pled with this man because of where he was going as a youth and his violent behavior against his own father and his cursing his father and mother. And he ended up divorced, ended up in jail, all those things that happened. If you don't understand obedience and authority and honor in respect to authority, there is consequences and there is laws in place. So I give that this morning just to encourage our hearts that we need to recognize the spirit of the age in which we live in, and not only the spirit of the age in which we live in, but also that sin we were conceived, and there is sinful nature in our children, and that those things are possible, and we need to be aware of those things, and we need to teach our children from an early age to honor and to respect the Lord and to their parents. Whoso curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. The eye that mocketh his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. It's very, very profound scriptures that speak of spiritual blindness. The eyes shall be plucked out for those who despise to obey their father and mother, and they shall be in obscure darkness, those who curse father or mother. And so this is no little thing. This is a major a subject that we're dealing with here. Dishonor and rebellion is very serious sin. I think probably one of the clearest examples we can see in Scripture is where it says in 2 Kings 22, where Elisha went up from Bethel, and as he was going by, there came forth little children out of the city, and they mocked him, and said unto him, "Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head." And of course, we know that he cursed them, and two she-bears came out of the wood, and tear 42 of the children of them. Well, you know, thankfully, we don't live on that side of the covenant, and we don't go cursing. We rather are here to bring salvation and to bring healing and blessing to people's lives. But it does tell us very clearly and give us a warning that we shall fear and give due respect every man to his father and his mother, and keep my Sabbath, saith the Lord, for I am the Lord your God. So who do we honor? Well, the Bible says very clearly in Leviticus, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man. Show respect to the elder. You shall fear the Lord your God." So how do we teach our children to honor the elderly? I think it's, first of all, like I said, it has to be in our own hearts and lives. But then there are things that we can do to make provision and opportunity for that. I think of one of the things, just giving you some of our testimony, as a younger family, we would go visit old folks' homes, retirement communities, and there was places where we'd go where there was those that were mentally handicapped, and we would go and share with those people some songs and then some Bible, a little message, and then we would mingle with the people and we would bless them and we would honor them. And our children, it was a stretch for them sometimes because, you know, some of these older people were maybe a little bit senile, but they wanted to reach out and hug them and kiss them. And you know, but it was very good experience for our family. And I think through that, we were demonstrating the value of these people's souls. Though they may have a mental handicap, though they be old and they don't have any family, and many of them are forsaken, but we go and we give honor to the hoary head. We bless those people and we reach out to them and we honor and respect them. I think we should be very alert to any mocking spirit in our children or any dishonoring. And we should be very alert to that because that is something that is ungodly. It's unchristlike, and we need to work toward showing our children and demonstrating to them to honor and bless the elderly. "Thou shalt not curse the deaf," Leviticus 19:14, "nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. I am the Lord." The honoring of those who are handicapped or deaf or blind, you can usually tell pretty quickly about children how they respond to what's in their heart when they see someone who's physically handicapped or mentally handicapped, whether there's a mocking or a laughing about it or a snickering or making fun of. And we need to teach our children that is not right. That is sin. They should not be doing that. Those people did not choose to be born that way. They can't help that they were born with a physical handicap or with a mental disability, and that we as parents are showing forth respect and honor to all those whom God has created. And we should teach them to accept those people and to bless them and to honor them right where they are. How do we really, really teach this? I'm going to take you to some scriptures that may be a bit of a surprise, but I think it's very, very crucial that we as parents understand this principle very real in our hearts and lives, and that is that honor is best learned as it's seen, lived out, and demonstrated. So we're going to get right down practical, okay? We're just going to get right down practical. Rick said he wasn't going to speak about your relationship with your spouse, but I'm going to, because this really is where this is taught. So I want to ask us today, to be honest, how do we honor our spouse? How do we treat our spouse? Our children learn honor and respect and value being placed upon the other person and their opinion and their interests and their desires by how we honor and respect and relate one to another as husband and wife. Proverbs says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." Husbands, are you praising your wife? Do you realize that you have a virtuous wife and her price is far above rubies? See, as you honor and bless and praise your wife and you show to your children that they have a very godly mother, they are so blessed to have a mother like they do, and they see you do that, and you're honoring and blessing your wife, they in turn, their estimation and understanding of who their mother is just keeps growing and being expanded as they see their daddy praising their mother, blessing their mother. And the spirit and attitude is there too. It's not just empty words, but it's a honoring and a blessing and a praising. You know, and it says here, then the children, they rise up and they call her blessed. And the husband also, he praises her. The woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So this matter of honor and respect is caught far more than taught. May I say it that way? It is caught. Okay, husband and wife relationship and with our children. Do I honor and respect my children as well? Especially my older ones who now they are Christians and they hear from the Lord and they have some things to share with me also. Is there an honoring and a respectful relationship in our home? Fathers and mothers, we model it. But now here's a way that we also model it very much. Do my children hear me speak well of my fellow elder, my brother Emmanuel, my brother Paul, my brother Mel? Do they hear me honoring them and blessing them and thanking God for them? Honor. And do they see me walk it out and live it out? And do they see me respecting another person's opinion, even if it differs from mine? And they know I wouldn't be quite at that same place, but I show respect and deference. This is so crucial. Training, teaching our children in honor and respect. How to honor and respect others. You know, I can talk all I want, but if they know that in my heart I am dishonoring my father, I'm dishonoring my fellow elder, or I'm dishonoring a brother in the church,
it does far more speaking than my words. And so much more is caught than is taught. To honor, it has to be a heart, as Brother Rick was sharing. It's the heart posture that honors the Lord first and then honors those and respects those that God has placed around me. To get into some practical things, we read the verse there about honoring and being respectful to the elderly. How do our children show that honor and that respect? I grew up in a very conservative Mennonite home. We weren't taught to say, yes, sir, you know, and that type of thing. But we were taught to honor the elderly. And I think some of us also hear from, you know, the Anabaptist plain circles. It's sort of like, did anybody ever sit down and really teach it to us? You know, from the Scripture and, you know, really lay it line upon line? I think many of us, I see heads shaking. It really wasn't done that way. But we saw it demonstrated, right? We saw it lived out. And that's what is so important. I'm not saying we shouldn't teach it. We can tell, we can teach it. We need to. It's in the Scriptures. And we need to give warning where there's a warning needed. But the life behind it and the practice of it, the living out of it, honoring those that are in our presence and in our midst. And I think it's very good to have some very practical things like teaching our children to stand when guests come into our home and to shake their hand and to look them in the face and to greet them. I think also it's very important that with honoring the elderly, the older ones, there is such a prevailing spirit where there's dishonor toward the elderly in our society. And may that not be among us, but may we be demonstrating honor to those that are older. May we be demonstrating honor to those that are in authority over us, and to honor the policeman, to honor the civil authorities, to honor our president. I mean, sometimes it pains me when people are just tearing, you know, our governors and our president, our leaders, apart. Do they have fault? Are they in error many times? Yes, it's true, there's fault there. But do we yet give honor to whom honor is due? Amen. Honor all men? Honor the king? Amen. You know? Or do we dishonor by picking them apart and tearing them down? And do we talk about the policeman like, you know, he's the cop? You know, or, you know, dishonorable terms? And so I think, brothers and sisters, this is very, very practical, very simple in how we honor and respect others. It is so much more caught than to just simply line upon line. And as I think about honor and respect, to honor the elderly, there should be an awe and a reverence. And so much today in society, it's just broken down to where, you know, we just run boldly into places and situations and peoples and things and just dishonor, disrespectful. I think this matter of honoring and respecting also would go to a practical application is in other people's property, other people's belongings and goods. You know, that we don't just run in over everything and you know, open this door and look in there and get this or get that. But when we're in someone else's home, we're respectful and we honor and respect those people's property and their things. I think of also in the honor and respect, as I shared, you know, that there's such a breakdown of the reverential, the taking our place of humility before those that are older or senior, and that's something that we do need to instill into our children, to honor those that are older, and to honor those that are in positions of authority, and to respect and to not speak back. I think some of the great examples of failure in this area is when children talk back to an older person, and I don't have to obey you, and you're not my boss, and disrespectfully speak back toward parents. It's an awful thing that needs to be dealt with in discipline. But then with others, you know, sometimes it might even be to grandparents or some of those things where it's just simply out of place. And honor is something that will bring a blessing upon our children, which is what we want. When they are in a place of honoring and respecting and blessing, it will bring blessing into their lives. And so we need to realize that we cannot let that go unchecked and consider it as a small thing, because it is a very vital thing with the Lord. I'd like to just maybe open it up for you all to share some thoughts in practical ways of how we are teaching our children to honor and to respect those in authority and older ones, those around us. Maybe you have some thought, maybe you have some input or some question as to how do we respond in this given situation or in a certain area of life. I'd love it for to be a little bit of interaction here as we look at this subject of honoring and respecting and teaching our children in that vein. So if we can have the microphones, and anyone feel free to raise your hand, give a question, or give a testimony, so that we can be edified here together. Okay, Brother Rick, thank you.
Yeah, I had a question, something you'd mentioned earlier, Brother Aaron. I don't remember when you said it, but maybe about 20 minutes ago, when you were giving examples of how to teach them about honor, and you mentioned giving honor and respect back to your own children. Could you maybe just talk about that a little bit, or elaborate on that? Or I've seen that work, and I agree with it.
Yes.
I just maybe if you had a few examples or some other thoughts on that.
Yes, okay. Yeah, I think probably the one of the most clears for myself in my own life has been to hear what your youth, especially, or even a child, they may not even have to be converted yet, but to hear what your child has to say. It's a little bit like Paul shared about his child there in the chair not wanting to eat. To be able to go beyond just the immediate what's before me right at this moment, but to hear the heart of my child and to respect their heart and their feeling. But that doesn't mean a compromise, though. We can't do that. But yet to show that we value their thought, their input, and to give them an opportunity to express their heart. I think one other area that might come out is rather than just lay down a law of this is what you do because this is what I said, and we don't consider all of the implication, when we can sit and we can hear their heart, and then we can give some honor, and we may still make the same decision that might say, no, I really don't think it's appropriate or it's right for you to go and do this. But rather than just a, you know, command, it's we took time to hear their heart and we showed some honor. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. There's a hand over there.
One of the other key ways in showing honor, which was implied, but I'll verbalize it, is to when someone is speaking to remove the distractions away from what you're doing, whether you're reading the paper, you're at the computer, or whatever you're doing that is distracting you, maybe you're working, and to give your spouse full attention and to hear and understand what they're saying. Oftentimes, I know for us men, it's easy to be thinking about other things, and although we're looking at them and listening to them, or we're hearing with our ears, we're not hearing with our minds. We're not understanding. And when they're done talking, you have no clue what they just said. And I think that's a good way that we can show respect and demonstrate, show respect to our spouses, especially our wives, but also demonstrate respect to our children when they see us give our wives full attention, that our boys grow up knowing that that's the way it's done. That's the way you do it.
That's good. Appreciate that very much. All right, hand over here. Yes, go ahead. Raise your hand so you can get the microphone to you. Anything to comment or share?
I think the point is important that we show our children respect in ways so they can mirror that back to us. And one of the ways, well, in our home, we have a goal. It's a goal of that the children would obey without challenge, delay, or excuse, as well as without complaining and disputing, as it says in Philippians. But if we hold them to that and be very authoritarian and don't show any respect or love in that, they will rebel. So one of the ways to kind of give them a little bit of flexibility in that rigid requirement is to teach them an appeal process. First, I expect them to obey immediately. And on your way to obeying, if you're in the middle of a chapter of a book or you want to finish a page, the first response should be, okay, Mama, okay, Papa. And then if they have an appeal, to teach them, could I please finish this last paragraph of this book? And then if my answer is no, it must be done right now, they should obey immediately without challenge, delay, or excuse, arguing, complaining, disputing. So that appeal, what that appeal looks like is something that needs to be practiced, I think, before. And like you said, Rick, practicing how to take a spanking, do that outside the time when you're actually going to deliver it. That was a great point, because I've been trying to teach that in the heat of the moment, and it doesn't hold as well as it would. Mm-hmm. So those practice role-playing sessions would be important.
Thank you. Amen. All right, anyone else? Yes.
How are some ways that you can honor your unbelieving parents without compromising if they ask you to do things that are not biblical?
Okay, if I understood that question, if your parents would ask you to do something that's not biblical, they're unbelieving?
And honor, if you have unbelieving parents, how are some ways to honor them without compromising if they want you to do things that are not biblical? You still want to honor them, but how do you do that? How are some ways you could do that?
I think we have some people here that could answer that from testimony experience. I don't have that situation. I have some thoughts, but I'd love to open it up for someone else to share. How do you honor your unbelieving parents? Okay, Steve, and then Brother Paul. That's good.
Yeah, that was a question that I mean, something that was on my mind. One thing that Aaron said earlier about it being difficult in times when your parents are not believers, and to a certain extent I actually disagree with that, because I think one thing that we have to understand is there is a difference between honor and obey. I think you know, yes, it does make it more difficult. It is easier, you know, just from your heart to honor somebody that, you know, is on the same page and believes what you believe and everything. At the same time, you know, we can show them our love and our respect and our honor and highly esteem them and speak well of them to others and speak well of them to our children and speak well of them to them. Thank them for what they do, because they did a lot for us, whether they're believers or not. They did a lot for us. And I think there's a lot of ways like that. But yeah, that was kind of one of the key things that has helped me through that already, is to recognize the difference between honoring and obeying. Honoring does not mean unquestioned obedience. So that's kind of what I would see there.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Brother Paul?
Yeah, I've found my parents are not Christians. My father's dead now. My wife's parents were. But what we found, like, it really does come a lot down to the attitude that you have toward them. Because you can find ways to express honor. My mother was a gift giver. She, you know, if she ever gets saved, I'm sure she's got the gift of giving. She loves to give. But she wants to give stuff that we don't want our children to have. Mm-hmm. So we had to approach her real gently and honoringly. And, you know, Mom, we really appreciate the fact that you're such a giver and that you want to bless our children. And we want to give you the chance to do that. You know, these type of things, whatever it was, really go against our convictions. And could we think of an alternative? Could we think of another way that you can do that? And so she's been very workable that way to do that. Now, some people might not be that workable, might be offended, but she's been very workable. And yes, you know, that's fine. Family gatherings, they like to get together on Christmas, and it's not nothing to do with the Lord. So we've had to just tell them, you know, we don't want to be there when you're all giving gifts and everything, but we really want to meet with you all, you know, so we come later. So there's ways, if our attitude is to honor them, that we can express that. And I know, like, for me, I'll often tell my children, my parents did the best they knew how.
Good.
You know, they, and I believe that, you know, that they weren't given much. And so they were walking what they knew, and I try to honor them in that way. And so I think that makes a difference if our children hear us saying, you know, putting them down because they're unsaved and they got all these heathen ideas and so forth, that's not going to bring the honor.
That's right.
But if they hear us expressing thanks for what they did give, the good qualities about them, so that's how mm-hmm. I would answer that. Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that very much. You know, to find the things that you can speak that were positive, you know, in your life through your parents, positive things that are a blessing. Amen. Yes, over here then. Go ahead.
I think we need to take and use Jesus' attitude. From what I understand and read about Jesus, he when he was on other people's turf, he used respect, honor, and respect. But the only time I know that he really did something on somebody else's turf was when he turned over the tables there, when he was, you know, he told them they're using that for a thieves' den and so forth there in the tabernacle, wherever it was. But just an example, one of the first times we went to my wife's parents after we had left the Amish, I was shocked. When we went to leave, our two oldest daughters told their grandparents that they loved them. And I was totally shocked. I just couldn't believe that they even thought to do that. And later my wife and I talked about it, and we came to realize that would have probably came from us not speaking evil about them. You know, we do respect her parents, and I believe it goes a long way if we don't speak evil about them, and if we lift them up in any way possible, and also respect them when we're at their house. Last Saturday we went to my wife's parents to help them get ready for one of my wife's younger sister's wedding, and it was the first time we ever went that we went for the day, and we didn't know how this was going to go for lunch. But just before lunchtime, her father spoke to me, and by him speaking to me, we knew his heart about us staying for lunch. So we just said, okay, we'll leave, and we did, because we knew what his heart was. I think if we respect them in ways like that, mm-hmm. I think that goes a long way.
Amen.
That doesn't mean we have to obey them and go against biblical principles, but respect them.
Yes. Thank you. Brother Jeff, I'm sorry, I didn't realize.
No, I think Brother Paul, I would say amen to what he said. I don't have believing parents, neither Michelle nor I do. Our fathers aren't saved. We're not sure about our moms, but I think the area I want to grow in, I say amen to your suggestion, is to really speak of how much we love them and how we long for their salvation. And the few times I've done it, I want to do it more. It's to talk about their qualities that they have now that are going to be magnified when they are saved. And to really give a vision to my children of, won't it be wonderful when grandma and grandpa are reunited on both sides to the original spouses and are walking with Jesus. You know, grandma's a giver. Imagine how she's going to be. Grandpa believes in justice and he's a strong man. Imagine how he's going to be when he's born again. I'm convicted. I need to do that more. Mm-hmm. I see my children's eyes brighten up, and I feel better when I speak of them that way.
Amen. Thank you. It's good. Helen?
This is a little bit for the ladies, but I thought I would add it. First, I wanted to touch for a minute on what it's like to have unbelieving parents and how to honor them. I know for us that come from a worldly background that we have to remember that our parents are confused when we come to the Lord, and they're very confused when we change our lifestyle. It's very confusing for them because they tried to raise us a certain way, and they don't understand why we're going against everything we were taught. And I tried to always remember that my parents were confused. And then we tried to incorporate things with the children that reaffirmed to my parents that even though we're going a totally different direction than the way you raised us, that's not going to sever our love for you. And that helped our parents to work through the confusion. And we had to stop going to Easter and to Christmas. And it was so confusing to our parents why all the other children and grandchildren came and ours didn't, that they misinterpreted it as a lack of love. And so we had to rearrange that a little bit. And we met with my parents and told them that we weren't going to do any of those things, and we were sorry they didn't understand it, but we'd like to have a grandparent appreciation day every year. And we had, for years and years and years, a day where we gathered with them, and they were allowed to give gifts to our children, and we gave them some suggestions. We wrote suggestions, like maybe a towel or with their name on it or something. And we gave gifts to them, and our children memorized poems and stood up and told little rhymes about why my grandpa is so nice or why my grandmother is so sweet or something. And then we sang songs and things. And it helped my parents work through the confusion, and it helped them, I think, also to begin to listen to what we had to say. That's one thing. And another thing for the ladies is that I set aside time for our girls to honor people. You know, once a month or so, I'll suddenly say, okay, we have the whole afternoon today that you girls are going to write letters to some of the older ladies in our church and tell them what a blessing they are to us, and or we're going to make them a gift or something like that. And they catch the enthusiasm of how it's a blessing to get to honor people. Or we often will set aside a time in the car where all of the children, no matter how old they are, we'll say today, we did it just the other day, we took the children for a treat, but on the way home from the treat we said, now we're going to spend the rest of the drive naming someone in the church and how they affect us and how much we respect them and how we want to be like them. And each one of us names somebody in the church and what a great blessing they are. And that helps the children to practice looking and honoring and to just put that into a regular practice.
Oh, praise God. Amen. To look for those qualities and magnify the honorable qualities in each other. Amen. One of the things that we like to do sometimes is, I'll tell the children we're going to have a surprise for Mom, and we try to keep it from her, and we do a little bit like what you were saying you did with your parents, you know, or their grandparents. And we come up with some little notes or words of appreciation and surprise Mom, you know, and just to honor her and bless her. And I thought of the verse too for you sisters, you wives. You know, the wife, see that she reverence her husband. You know, and when there's a husband loving his wife as Christ loved the church and giving honor and praise to his wife and support and blessing and, you know, just compliments and praises,
and the wife is reverencing her husband, which means she's regarding him, she's preferring him, she's esteeming him. It's all those beautiful things tied in there. And the children live under that kind of atmosphere. It's not an act. It's not a one-time act of doing. It's the atmosphere. My heart posture is one that seeks to see the good in others and to bless them for it and to honor and esteem them. Well, I think our time is about concluded. So thank you all for sharing, and may our lives be exhorted and encouraged in honoring our Lord and then honoring those that God puts in our path and blessing. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.